Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I think Jerry really, I don't want to say, maybe showed his hand isn't the right phrase, but this thing, I don't know if he's taking it personal. He might be because obviously he's been there for Zeke when Zeke's had his off the field troubles, and he has Zeke under contract for 2 more years. And whether he's taking it personal or not, he is very upset. Not just that this is your typical holdout. You never like that as an owner or GM. But the fact that Zeke is doing it so early with 2 years left on his deal, I think that really has upset Jerry. I think that's led to these comments he's made belittling Zeke and how good he is, even though he's also made some comments, you know, that we need him and he's great and so on and so forth. And I think that's led to Jerry playing excessive hardball. And this is yet the latest example in my mind that the Cowboys are going to start the season without Ezekiel Elliott. Rob G, play this comment he said today.
Is that the way that you guys feel the tone is right now, that
no,
you have a player that's
no
not?
Tone. There's no tone. I'm just saying, if you have no basis to have a piece of paper, there's nothing that says a contract executed within the last few weeks or months can't be looked at and say, you know, I think I want a different part of it done this way and not play. You get into a different world when you don't honor your agreements.
And what you didn't hear him say, Rob, before you get started, he said, if we do a contract, what's to assure us that this time next year or 3 months later, we won't be talking about another contract if we're not going to honor contract?
Because once he gets what he wants, the chances or likelihood that he's going to do something again is not very much the case. And he's kidding themselves. Teams tear up contracts, cut people all the time. Yes, do they pay out whatever money's due? Yes, they do. But they do rip up contracts and say, we no longer want you, no matter how many years you have signed for. There's plenty of contracts that aren't finished by
teams.
Well,
when they're not guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You get them. If they cut you, you get the guaranteed money.
But I'm just saying, but they still break the contract, out of contract.
Well, if it's not guaranteed, I don't know that you're technically breaking it.
All right, then the whole idea is we've seen in the NFL other guys get paid in the same scenario, so it's not as if nobody's ever done it and it's uncharted water and Ezekiel Elliott is trying to do something that's never been done. It's just not the case. This is what happens when you have a CBA that doesn't work for running backs. This is what
happens. That's what I agree with you on. I don't agree. I mean, it's true. You're right. Todd Gurley and David Johnson got their contracts with
two years left
on their deal. I don't think that's a good argument for Zeke because those two contracts are working against him.
It doesn't matter about
it. Does matter.
No,
well, you can disagree, but it does matter, I believe, because everybody's looking at the Rams. And I remember when they gave Gurley that deal, and Gurley was – at that point in time, healthy and obviously tearing the league up. And I just remember saying, not that it was a bad deal money-wise because he was so good, but I remember thinking, why did they do it now? There was no talk of him holding out or him putting pressure on him.
But you don't know about behind the scenes, though.
Right.
You don't know that.
It's from the outside, it looked like they just gifted him with this new contract for what he had done. Maybe they were thinking, going forward, it would be more expensive if he's still as productive or what. And then now he's banged up, and it looks like that's a bad contract. David Johnson, same thing with the Arizona Cardinals. He definitely, you know, he got hurt right after he got the contract and, you know, hasn't really lived up to it either. So those two contracts are part of why I believe the Cowboys are looking at Zeke and saying, I don't know if we want to go there. Where I do agree with you on is that Zeke has no choice. This really is about the terrible collective bargaining agreement that the Players Association made. And no one gets it worse than the running backs. So I understand where Zeke is coming from. They get used and abused, and then they're going to get tossed aside. They're not going to want to pay him. He could be one of the greatest running backs of all time for the first 5 years of his career and never get the huge payday.
Absolutely, and that's something's wrong with the system if that's the case.
Right, it's the system. I don't blame the Cowboys. I don't blame Jerry for that, but I do blame the system, and that's why you and I talk all the time, Rob. These players have got to stand up and fight for something, and Zeke, in his own individual way, is doing that right now.
And you've seen that now with running backs. After Le'Veon set out a year, running backs are looking differently and just saying, dude, I got to get paid. If I get hurt or something happens, I may never get that payday. And that's the scary part, is that there's a chance that you can get hurt.
No question about that. So, I don't want to say more convinced than ever. I give it about a 20% chance that they could get a deal done before, you know, at some point next week.
Everything I read said that they're far apart. I mean, every story I read, I just don't see.
I'm seeing the same stuff.
Am I right?
But you know how these – no, you're right. Every story is out there saying they're far apart. But yeah. You know how these things work. I mean, they can come together quickly. But I really do believe they're going to start the season without Zeke. And, you know, the leverage is going to swing wildly one way or the other. It'll be interesting because I do think Zeke is dug in. And if the Cowboys, if the Cowboys really start well, and let's say they're 2-0, maybe 3-0, and the offense, I'm not saying Tony Pollard's running for 110 yards a game, but let's say the offense is humming. They're not showing any signs of really missing Zeke. It'll be interesting to see if Zeke buckles and comes in and accepts the offer on the table.
I almost think he can. He's painted into a corner,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I've been saying all along that that's where it's going to happen.
Right?
He's either going to come in and take what they offered, or they're going to have to give him, you know, what he wants. But you're right. It's getting to a point where it will look like he's coming back with his tail between his legs. If he does come back and accept the offer that's on the table.
And there's pride that's involved. You know that people have pride, and they don't want to look like bad. Oh, you groveled.
Right.
Oh, you caved to Jerry. Jerry brought you to your knees. You weren't serious. Jerry
right.
clowned you. He talked bad about you, and you came running back. I'm telling you.
Especially
the stuff that Jerry has been saying. You know what I mean? When you add the other stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, like you said, Zeke's got pride. He's got pride in his game. So I do think he'll come back and play well, you know, just because he wants to be all pro. He wants to be a Hall of Famer and all, so on and so forth. But you're right. I mean, it could, because, you know, negotiations always get ugly.
Right.
But it could ruin their relationship. It could make Zeke play only for himself.
Right, right.
And not for the Cowboys.
That's what I mean. Right. Not that he's going to dog it once he gets back, but I'm just saying you do lose that. Like, Jerry might have been your boy. You don't forget that
right.
stuff when it's public. You know, I understand
unless
behind the scenes.
Unless you get that money.
Right. Unless it makes you,
you
like,
know?
Right, right,
right.
And then you say, okay, all is forgiven. And he says, all right, I'm going to pay you. You're the highest paid running back. Then life is good.
Yeah, this is I don't understand why Jerry, unless you it's just you take it at face value and he's really upset and he's really playing hardball. I don't know how else to read this stuff because it's certainly not helping the negotiations.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
None other than the star of that show, Emmanuel Lewis, is joining us. Emmanuel, what's happening,
Wow,
man?
What's happening?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
We are great, man. It is just such an honor to have you on. And I was at a convention in Las Vegas about 2 or 3 months ago, and that's where I met Emmanuel, and we had a great conversation. He definitely knows his sports, so we're going to get to that. But you, I mean, everybody knows you as the actor, especially Webster, but you did a lot of other things. I mean, you had a hit record in Japan, if I'm not correct, or is that right? And you did some break dancing and all that?
you know, I started my my entertainment life doing commercials. We did like over 60 commercials in a span of 3 years, which is kind of unheard of. And then I went straight into doing music in the single that hit number one on the Japanese Billboard, and I did it in Japanese. And then
you sang in Japanese.
And I did, yeah, I sang it in Japanese. So wow. Pretty connection. It's crazy. There's no way in ever I would ever be able to figure out what my life and how it was going to turn out and what it was going to do. You know, just a kid from Brooklyn, you know, best job, do or die, all that.
Hey, wow. I feel you being a kid from Jamaica, Queens, so that's
you
awesome.
Know what I mean? Yeah, so, you know, big up to PS256 and all of that, Satellite 4, Midland High. You know?
That's right. Hey, Emmanuel, and you were also very good friends with Michael Jackson. I mean, you guys used to hang out.
Yeah, I know. Feels kind of crazy, especially yesterday being his birthday. And my boy AJ Calloway, his birthday was yesterday. They both share the same birthday. He's my dude, right? You know, so it's really surreal. Last week, we just did the event with President Jimmy Carter at his home church, First Baptist in Americus, Georgia. And they were celebrating the 26th anniversary of Heal the World, Heal the Children Foundation, in which the president was the co-chair. And they did the Atlanta Project with a lot of immunization stuff that he was doing for the medical for the kids. And it was just crazy because we had this lookalike. His name was Michael Jack Tone, and he was from Japan. Oh, my God. He looked like a dead ringer. I mean, I literally just put my hand right in his chest and like, is this you guy? Like, what the hell, right? And it was pretty awesome. And, of course, you know, the music, his music in the background. And, you know, I got to be careful of how much Michael's music I can listen to because it's still... Man, that one is still fresh, you know what I mean?
Emotional, yeah, I bet. Well, this is going to be interesting. I asked you to send me a few of your sports takes, and you, man, you sent me a ton, which, again, just shows how big of a sports fan you are. Now, you are saying, and Rob Parker's going to have an issue with this, so he's going to probably go at you. You are predicting the Los Angeles Lakers will win the championship this year. That's correct, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love, absolutely, number one, yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, let's make it clear. I'm saying that's what's going to happen because the IQ of that basketball team is out the roof. I mean, the Clippers are great, and I know, you know, I hear them talking about, you know, them getting Iguodala up there and maybe Joe Johnson, and, you know, those definitely could sweeten up the purse or whatever, but... Overall, I mean, the heavy hitters that they have on the bench as well as the starters, that's pretty serious. I mean, you can chop it up any way you want, but when you think about the IQ of that, which is kind of what it takes, and be able to play the full season without injury, I think they got room not only to grow, but room that if anybody goes down, somebody next man up. I mean, I know, man, I feel so bad about DeMarcus having his injury, but you know JaVale has been improving every year, so they can act like they can laugh and act like he counted them out, but them block shots keeps buckets from going in. So you right. know,
Emmanuel, I'm gonna start this off from another TV guy who you remember very vividly, and I'm going to say, with all due respect to Gary Coleman, what you talking about, Emmanuel? What are you talking about?
That's my boy. Look, you know, I realize it sounds far-fetched, but any time you can keep doing something long enough, and it's not like he's brand new to the organization, so anytime you have rapport and you have energy, synergy, along with one another, that changes the dynamic of basketball. Now, with their IQ, with their synergy, and having played with each other for a little bit, and being best friends, that makes a difference. Because all that time you playing on the hard tarmac, you know, in somebody's house back door, that timing, that adds to it. They've been on the Olympics team together. I mean, I think that's a difference that most people don't factor in.
Hey, all I'm going to say to you is I'll bet you some chicken wings that the Lakers aren't winning the championship. I'm picking the Clippers. I got the Clippers. The Clippers.
I know everybody got the Clippers. Like, so give me who's their starting lineup right now.
All I know is they added Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I don't need the rest of the starting lineup. Those two guys added to what they had a year ago.
It would be great because I don't think that anybody in the history that I know of that as dominant. Now you got to understand both players that's done it, but any of the key players have literally went from one team and won a championship and gone to the next team and won the same championship the next year for their. I mean, you've got role players.
It would be incredible.
No, that would be.
It would be incredible.
No doubt.
But that would be, like, unprecedented, and, you know, kudos to him for pulling that off. But I just don't think they got to get off their feet sometime, and can those second string and third string pull that off? Because they're going to have to sit down sometime, and Kawhi don't necessarily like to play in a full season. So I don't know.
He's dropping some knowledge. It's the Odd Couple. We're joined by actor Emmanuel Lewis. Now, you hit me with something else. You think the GOAT, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm reading the text wrong, the GOAT basketball player to you is Bill Russell. Is that correct? And if so, explain why.
So you're talking about you need me to explain the 11 NBA championships he won, plus the two NBA championships he won as a player, plus him being the MVP of the Heisman at least once or twice. You talking about that guy?
No, wait a minute. Emmanuel, just because somebody looks like a goat with the goatee doesn't mean he's the goat when it comes to basketball.
Hold on now. You got to put some respect in that man.
Hey, right? When he played, how many teams were there in the league? Was it four or five? I don't remember.
It wasn't that many. It's a different time. But at the same time, man, I mean, you know, 11 in a row? Come on now.
You like big men because your top three are Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So you like the centers.
Actually, it's contrary. See, I like the little guys. That's why you look on my all-time favorite list. You know, you got Allen Iverson in there because I actually like the little guys. But if you're talking about the GOAT, who's dominant, I mean, come on. The big guys are the most dominant. Let's keep it a beat.
That's right. You're right. You got the Iverson. You got Steph. And tell Rob how good Steph is because he's a Steph hater as well.
You know, I get it. You know, just step in front of him and you know, let him shoot your lights out. And somebody has to open up your eyes because you feel dark over there.
So, hey, wait a minute. Emmanuel, last year he had a chance in game six to win that game and sent force a game seven. Of course, he missed a shot, and Steph is now 0-for-8 when the game is when they're behind or the game is tied, and he has a chance of putting his team ahead in the final 20 seconds. So he's not clutch for all the circus shots he makes. He doesn't make any big shots. Let's just face it, Emmanuel.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, clearly, you don't get two MVPs for not being able to get it done, okay? And let's not forget that one was completely uncontested. I mean, come on. How often does that happen in the history of the NBA that you get MVP and it's unanimous? Like, for real?
Right. It's never happened other than him.
One last thing.
Give me the history on that right there.
One last thing I want to ask you. Do you remember Rodney Allen Rippey?
I do.
Because he did a lot of TV shows, but I don't think he ever had his own show, right?
He did a lot of commercials, yeah.
No, actually, Rodney was famous for the Jack in the Box commercial that he had. And I actually ran into him one time at MGM Casino. I was coming in. And he was on his way out, and he stopped me. And I, of course, I didn't recognize him because he was all grown up. And he said his name, and of course, when he said it, I knew exactly who it was. And I was like, oh, wow, that's dope.
Well, Emmanuel, we have appreciated your time, man. We thank you a lot. It was great to have you on. And when you're in LA, if you get some time,
yes, come by.
We want you to come into the studio. You obviously know your stuff basketball-wise, so we want you to come into the studio and spend an hour with us, and we'll just talk hoops.
And I'll be able to slap you around in person.
I get that. I believe that you would definitely try. But
you know Taekwondo. Don't you know Taekwondo?
I do. So
Black Rob's in trouble.
And Taekwondo as well as American Karate. And I do know Smith & Wesson.
We gonna put that on
video.
Oh
man!
You beating down he Rob just, Parker.
He just threatened me. He said he knows Smith and Wesson.
Wow!
Hey, he said he's from Bed-Stuy.
Wow!
All right, Emmanuel. Thank you, man. Great stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Little news out of the NFL, Rob Parker, and obviously within the past few weeks, the Jay-Z signing on and coming into a partnership with the NFL to head up some of their entertainment stuff and do some social change or social justice work. That was a big story. And now, you know, a lot of people are waiting to see what Jay-Z is going to do as far as social justice in his partnership with the NFL. There was a press release today by the NFL that announced that Jay-Z and the NFL are launching an Inspire Change apparel line. And Inspire Change is the name of the social justice initiative of the NFL in concert with the Players Coalition. So they're launching that apparel line, Inspire Change, across the country. And the proceeds from that will go toward programs that are focusing on economic empowerment, police and community relations, and criminal justice reform. They also are going to do a music showcase on September 5th in Chicago at an NFL kickoff event, obviously to kick off the season. And it's going to have Meek Mill, who obviously is one of the guys that Jay-Z helped in terms of his some of his personal social justice initiatives. Megan Trainor, another entertainer, and Rhapsody. Rhapsody is, which I guess you'd call a conscious rapper. She's dope. She just dropped a new album, and she's solid. So that is the news. And I want to hear your opinion on it, Rob. But Colin Kaepernick tweeted, looks like he took a little shot at Jay-Z. He tweeted you might have to help me out with this, Rob G, but he tweeted an excerpt from a book. Let me see if I can find it here. But it's an excerpt from a book called, it essentially is kind of decreeing black capitalism, I would say.
Right. That's what it is.
I'm trying to find the quote he put out. You have it, Rob G? Read it. Yeah.
Rob, yeah, so he highlighted the pages of a book from a book called Black Awakening in Capitalist America, written by Robert L. Allen in 1969. So there's a whole excerpt there, but on top of it, as the quote of the tweet, he says, "What they seek is not an end to oppression, but the transfer of the oppressive apparatus into their own hands."
Well, and that's not a quote from Kaepernick. That's
from the book.
Right. Yes. And his quote is, "Reading always gives me clarity." So yeah, he takes a little subtle jab at Jay-Z. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm underwhelmed by it. I'm a concert and selling. Is this the NFL again with like breast cancer awareness, selling merchandise, or is that's where we're headed? I don't know. I just that's the grand plan. What's the end game? Because everybody likes to ask that. What's the end game with a concert before the kickoff of the season and T-shirts telling people to aspire for change?
Well, what I was saying, and I'm just putting it out there, I had no problem with Jay-Z's deal with the league. If there was some burgeoning movement among African Americans to really, you know, boycott the NFL or boycott it until Colin Kaepernick's back in the league, I would have been all for it. And then I would have been against Jay-Z doing it. But there's not. African-Americans, there's a few boycotting, a relative few. But for the most part, we're just going on enjoying it just like we were before Cap. We're upset about it. We want him back in the league. But it's not stopping us from doing business with the NFL in various ways, shapes, and forms. So I don't think we should hold Jay-Z to a standard that none of us are willing to uphold. And furthermore, I mean, Cap, and I'm not criticizing Cap, but I don't think he should hold Jay-Z to a standard he's not holding Nike to. Because there are people that came out and said, well, you can't support Cap, because Jay-Z has said he supports Kaepernick, And people say, you can't support Kaepernick, but yet work for the NFL. Nike is supporting Kaepernick, right, with his clothing line, paying him millions, but also making – they have deals with the NFL. They make the NFL uniform.
Yeah, you also
so they're
have,
playing both sides of the fence,
well,
too.
But they have legal obligations with contracts, so I do understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but they're still
that
playing both sides of the fence.
But
why, you going to hold one single individual black American
to a standard because he was the guy who called up other entertainers and told them not to take part in stuff with the NFL, and then all of a sudden – when they wrote him a check, it was cool. And he's the one who showed up and told everybody sitting there with the commissioner that, okay, enough with the kneeling, because he's got a check in his pocket. Those are the things that rub
people
the wrong way.
First of all, he didn't say enough with the kneeling. No, he didn't. He said his exact quote, I think we've moved past that.
No, says who? Says Jay-Z?
No. You know who says it? And look, I think he should have worded it differently. He should be, because it shouldn't be Jay-Z against Colin Kaepernick, which is what black people have allowed it to become foolishly.
I don't think
We shouldn't be talking about, we're not even talking about the social justice issues anymore. We're talking about who's a sellout and who's not.
Well, but
and
that's ridiculous.
Let me finish my point. I'm not interrupting you. They should be working together. A part of it is kneeling. If you want to throw the fist up like Malcolm Jenkins was doing, that's fine. But beyond that, you do have to go and work toward doing something productive. It can't just be a symbolic gesture. And what this, you said, what's the end game? Yeah, this not going to solve police brutality. No, nobody has the answer to that yet. But what I am saying is the Inspire Change apparel line, one of the ends is that the money that they make from the apparel line is going to go toward funding programs that work for economic empowerment, police and community relations, and criminal justice reform. That is doing something. That is action. And so that's, and the concert, I'm not going to make too much out of a concert, but it's propaganda. And it's positive propaganda in that it's bringing awareness to these issues. I'm not going to say it's more than what it is, but it is propaganda. That's what, you know, a lot of, we know how propaganda works. Commercials, television, music. This is more propaganda, but it's doing it in a positive way.
You say we should work together, but he didn't even have the decency to even call. If he was wanting to work with Cap and work through this, he didn't even have the decency to call him prior. I'm not saying he had to call him for permission, but to say, hey, I think we have an inroad and maybe we can work together. What do you think? This is really got kicked off with you. And is there a way that you could be involved and we could come to some sort? That didn't even happen. And when they asked him, did he talk about it? He first said he called him. And then Kaepernick had to be the one to come out to even say, dude, that just didn't happen. That's the stuff that bothers me.
Well, I think his girlfriend said that.
Well, whoever, but they came out.
No, but that's part of, and look, I support Kaepernick. And I actually think, I've said this before, when he took a knee, I thought it was courageous, number one, but also more courageous because he was a backup. He was a backup. And so he was expendable. And he had to understand, I'm putting my career in jeopardy. I hope he understood that.
Of course he did.
If he had still been a star, if he had done it after making the Super Bowl, he would be in the league right now. And my point is, and you and I have said this, Rob, Colin Kaepernick would be in the league this week if the black players in the league said we're all kneeling until he's back on a team because he's clearly good enough, or we're not playing until he's back on the team. So again, I don't see why you should. Jay-Z's got to be the only black person that's at odds with the NFL because of Kaepernick. What about all these players, including Eric Reed, who's willingly taking the paycheck from the NFL?
He's a football player. That's his job.
So
that's what he does.
He can get a job. Sure, he's an intelligent guy. If he really wants to stick it to the NFL, he can get another job.
He has a job. I'm not saying I have a problem with him. I don't know. They took a settlement. Those guys were terminated illegally. That's why they got a settlement.
Who?
Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick.
I've never criticized their settlement.
I've heard people criticize, but they took a settlement from the league. Yeah, because they were wrongfully terminated. That's why. You just can't fire people for the hell of it. And I got no issue.
When was Kaepernick wrongly terminated?
When they didn't give him a job.
He wasn't wrongly terminated. He opted out of his deal.
Why you think?
And he sued for collusion.
Why'd they give him money? They didn't have to. They could have gone through with the case.
No, I'm with you, but don't. I'm just saying, get it right. He wasn't wrongly terminated. He opted out of his own contract.
And he knows.
And then nobody else signed him, and he sued for collusion, which I definitely think he's been blackballed, and he got the settlement.
All right, but I'm just saying what people are trying to make it like, well, they took the money. The only thing that bothers me is the way Jay-Z went about it and some of the stuff that he said. I didn't say he was perfect. I'm right.
No, that's why I'm agreeing with you. He wasn't perfect in doing it.
And the other thing, too, is it's just what's happened to black people for over and over and over, which is the photo ops. It's always about
a photo op.
Well, that's what it looked like to me with the commissioner.
That's what they want.
I would rather have respected Jay-Z without the commissioner being there, without pictures, without any of that stuff, just saying, I don't even want a dime from the NFL. I'm gonna work with them to be able to raise money or whatever. I don't need to work for the NFL.
He do that. He's a capitalist just like everybody else in America.
Because
Jay-Z said when he refused to perform at the Super Bowl, I don't need them.
They don't give money though for that job. They don't give money. Chris, he didn't turn down money.
He said, I don't need them. They need me.
But he didn't turn down money.
And now he's in a position where they're coming to him saying, we need you.
But he didn't turn down money.
I got no problem with the dude getting money from the NFL. And he is, there are ends to a means. Like people got mad at Malcolm Jenkins and the Players Coalition for taking the $89 million for the NFL. But they've done productive things to help black people and other people in need with that money. So that's production. That's not just a symbolic gesture. As fine as the symbolic gestures are, those who are doing the symbolic gestures, the kneeling, should be supporting those like Jenkins and the Players Coalition.
They don't have to agree with them. But they don't have to agree with
Rob,
them.
Rob, I'm not cutting you off. Let me finish. They don't have to, but that's what you said. What's been happening to black people forever in this country? Divide and conquer.
No, but and you don't. But you don't have to fall in line because they're willing to take money from the same people. But what? You don't have to fall in line because the same people gave you the money, or the same people did the unthinkable to Colin Kaepernick. The unthinkable. That's why. You can't trust them. They've showed you over and over.
You can trust them.
You can't trust the NFL.
Who do you trust?
They had to have a rule to interview black people for jobs. They had to come up with a rule because they wouldn't even interview black people.